something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Does that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
I have the oven.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the chat.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we're joined by the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. And I'll tell you, I won some money gambling. The one night out of the three, they let us in the casino in Detroit. The other two nights, not allowed it. Told.
You're already. For a Detroit casino, for them to say you can't come in, you got to be pretty sauced.
It's not Vegas, believe me. It's a lot more difficult to get in.
Okay.
I think they have a lot more trouble. Okay. That they're a little bit more protected.
I see what you're saying. Right.
Yeah.
There's more potential for things to turn really ugly.
Yeah, and okay. It was funny. The night I wasn't let in, the guy's like, yeah, it was like really late. And the guy's like, you can't come in. And I'm like, okay. And I started, like, it was one of those things. I'm like, you're right. And I started walking away. He's like, here's why. I'm like, I don't care why. I mean, I know why. And then we were just trying to cut through the casino the other night, and my friend, they go, well, because your friend's intoxicated, we can't let you walk through the casino.
Just not even go through from one to the next.
We can't let you through.
All right. Well, all I know is that the Bankroll Boys were responsible for one of the more exciting games of the weekend for me, and that was when we had our going Dan Lifshatz tell us last time they were in studio, this time last week, that he believed that Cleveland outright was going to beat the Steelers. And I, of course, laughed. And sure enough, man, they got right down to the wire, end up being a tie. Do I get push money on that, don't I?
Push money.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So I just pushed on that one. But nonetheless, they were in. I mean, if the Cleveland Browns weren't the Cleveland Browns on, like, several occasions in the last few minutes of that game, that could have happened. They would have won.
We got to factor that in when you place a bet.
Yeah, well,
the Cleveland Browns being the Cleveland Browns.
Of course, of course. But that being said, that gave me a whole new sense of credibility to the Bankroll Boys. Now, let's take a look at
some. Did you know weather was going to be a factor when you bet that game?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of people who thought that, and that's why a lot of people were betting the under in that game, because the weather was supposed to be so bad.
Well, I'm looking at last week's picks, and just because we want to show a little bit of accountability here, your wins and losses, you had a record of 3 wins, 2 losses, and a push. It was a weird week, was it not?
Keep giving excuses.
I had the Titans game. I just wanted that thing washed out. I was hoping it would go 7 hours and they cancel it and washed out the bet.
By the way,
Murray and Lifshatz, they're on some websites.
It's the one that's got all the spreads. It's got all the spreads.
God bless them.
Yeah, yeah. So they're all ready to go.
They have access to that.
All right. So let's first start with this weekend's New England-Jacksonville game. I believe that's a push at this point, correct? As far as the spread is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where you get it. I think I have it a -1 or, you know, a pick'em right around there. Either way, the spread's real small. Little disturbing that it's that small on the road. I mean, I know Jacksonville is obviously a good team, getting a lot of respect, but even still, Blake Bortles should never be a 1-point dog to the Patriots, no matter where it is. And there's going to be a lot of money pouring in on the Patriots, especially because if you tease them, you get them down to like 5 or 4, depending on the line. I'm real nervous about that. I don't want to touch that line. I don't want to touch that game. I think that this is just a stay away, enjoy the game. I don't think it bodes well for the Patriots, though, just from that line.
Joe Murray, you agree?
No, I think the Patriots are absolutely on the road as a dog. Their record against the spread is, I think, like somewhere around 70-80%. So, personally, I like the Patriots this week.
Okay.
We'll have a breakdown on it on Over Under 985. Subscribe to us.
The podcast,
on the podcast.
That's right.
We actually gave out 6 picks total, 3-pack each. So, but I took the Patriots this week. Just again, I think what's big about week 2 is trends. And week 1, it's tricky. You don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
And the one thing not to fall into this week is how well a team did last week and thinking that they're either going to be as good or as bad the next week. For example, the Ravens last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that Cincinnati's not good on primetime football. Well, it was +1 last night for Cincinnati as a home dog. The against the spread record for the Ravens against Cincinnati is 2-7.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the way you had to look at it is you know, do you go with the trend or you go with the team that scored 40 points last week?
right.
I went with the trend. So I think this week, trends are really big in the NFL.
Okay.
And with the Patriots, their trend as a road dog, it's somewhere over 70% in their history. So I would not go against that trend.
Now, how far back into history is it relevant?
I like to go to 2014. I like what's in the last 4 years. That I think that's the way I base it. You could go by history, but for the Patriots, it doesn't matter anything 2010 and before that.
Dan's smiling. Do you disagree?
I fully disagree with Joe, and that's fine. I mean, there's different ways to bet, but see, I just, when you take a look at the 2014 team comparing it to the 2018 team, the remnants of that team is, they're just, it's completely different teams. So comparing what, you know, outside of really Tom Brady, I mean, you really compare the offensive line, the receivers, and outside of Brady and Gronk, really, there's, you know, the whole team's different. So I just look at that and say, well, it just, I don't do, like, he likes trends, and honestly, it works for him. I'm not a big trend guy. Like, last night, I just like Cincinnati because I like to fade teams that score 40 the week before, and just everyone in general just overrates how they do. And so, again, the NFL is a reactionary league, so everyone looks at a performance from the week before, says, oh, this team's going to be great the next week, when that's not the case at all, because it's a week-by-week basis and a performance-based basis. So I don't like to do that. I like to fade the actual public perception on the team when they, you know, crush it the week
before. Last night was a perfect example of that. Just against the spread, Patriots 12-3 in their last 15 road games against the spread. So I go with the trend in this one. Mm-hmm. Whoever, and one of the things last week, just quickly, was Dan mentioned that last year, don't pick the points, just pick a side. Mm-hmm. What was the percentage this week again?
In week one? 12-2-1.
Wow.
12-2-1.
All right.
So in this situation, pick the side.
Okay.
Don't even look at the line. Pick the side.
Just pick a winner. That's all you're trying to do.
I'm looking at this weekend spreads, and there is one that has a 14-point spread. And whenever you see a spread that large, that is the Los Angeles Rams-Arizona Cardinals game. What do you think when you see a spread that big on a game like that?
So we were talking about this on the podcast this week, but right away, you look at what's the largest spread of the week and what's the largest total.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a take necessarily on this game. The Rams are coming off a short week, but the highest total is that Pittsburgh-Kansas City game.
Yeah.
I'm going over in that game. I just think both teams are going to score a lot. Pittsburgh struggled last week. I think Kansas City continues to at least put up points with Mahomes. So in that situation, I like the over. Dan, I don't know how you feel about the Rams in this situation, but you know, a short week here. 14 points. I know Arizona looked bad, but this could be another perception of a week one team that played bad, fading them in week two. It might be too many points.
Yeah, especially when it's a divisional opponent. And again, you have to treat divisional games, especially, you know, when it comes to NFL betting, it's totally different. You know, outliers when it compared to, you know, facing, you know, the Rams versus the Bills. They're just totally different types of games because a coach game plans for a divisional opponent very differently than they do for an out of conference opponent, because you know that, you know, those teams are so familiar with each other. So it's a totally different type of game. I mean, but the thing is that when you have that many points on the board, the natural reaction is, I'll take the points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing like, you know, with that's a natural reaction. So off the top of the bat, I would be surprised if there's not a fairly decent amount of even money there. I would lean, just I don't like the game at all. I probably wouldn't bet it just because, again, division opponent, early week, Rams off a short week. I would lean towards the Rams just because of the fact that they're such a big spread, and usually those big spreads usually cover in divisional games, although we didn't see that last week with New Orleans and Tampa because Tampa won outright, but they still won, mm-hmm. and they won outright, but, you know, they covered that big spread.
All right,
hang on 1 second. Lichess, did you get engaged recently?
Yeah, September 1st.
Hey, okay. Congratulations.
You got engaged. So, did you have money on any games on September 1st?
Maybe.
All right. So at some point, and I heard it was lovely, and I heard that your fiance is a lovely girl. But
thank you.
But at any point before or immediately after the engagement or that you proposed, did you have to look at your phone to see how your bets were doing?
I was texting him. I heard nothing. Silence for a whole day.
Silence.
Was it to give him crap?
No, it was to, hey, what do you like in this game tonight?
No, so there was a bit of surprise, like, engagement, and I ended up throwing a surprise party. All of our friends and our family was back at my place, and we drove home and surprised her again. And, you know, we're there for 5 minutes, and immediately I was like, I need to turn on the game.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So this is what you're marrying, honey. This is who I am.
She's accepted it. Yeah, she's accepted it.
Now, Joe, is this weekend your bachelor party?
That is correct.
All right. And now, is there gambling involved in your bachelor party?
Absolutely.
Okay, so is there somewhere you're going or something?
Yes, we're renting a house in Mystic, Connecticut, and we're probably going to play dice there.
Nice.
With lots of $1 bills, probably. And then we're going to go to Foxwoods to watch the Triple G Canelo fight, we do have a pick on when you follow the podcast at Over Under Now.
Okay, so, really? And you said UFC is the sport that you make the most money.
Yep, so UFC is also this weekend. Bet all the underdogs, and they were huge. Some of the numbers were like -500, +400, 500. So if you bet all the dogs on a UFC card, at the end, you will make money at the end of the match.
Okay, and finally, the lock of the week, NFL one. The game that right now that you recommend that I should put money on. Because whatever money I didn't win or lose last week, I'm going to put on something else.
We've been doing survivor picks. Mine was the Chargers this week at Buffalo. I know it's a team going West Coast to East Coast, but
it is Buffalo.
7 points, Buffalo. Chargers off a loss. I like the Chargers this week.
Yeah, for me, it's the Steelers, and it's not even close. They absolutely dominate the Chiefs. Again, I think Mike Tomlin is an awful head coach and has been against the spread for years. He's one of the most overrated NFL coaches there is. However, the one team that he does dominate every single year with consistency is the Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes had a great week one, but usually rookie quarterbacks, or technically he's a rookie, he's a second year, who win on the road, get destroyed the next week on the road when they face another road team. So a Pittsburgh team that has a good historical, you know, background against Kansas City in the last couple of years. They beat them like by 30 in 2016. They beat them on the road last year. They just have that team's number. I love Pittsburgh this week. I think Pittsburgh's going to destroy Kansas City.
All right, I went with Lifshatz last week, so Joey, I'm going to go with you. All right? Joe Murray, I'm going to take eight. Is it 8.5? Is that what the spread is?
I had started 7 at my book.
Is Lifshatz coming to your bachelor party?
He is not.
I'm not invited. I'm not cool enough.
I didn't handle it. I have nothing to do with it.
Wait, because you weren't at his engagement party. Are the Bankroll Boys even boys?
No, we're boys. No, but it's a business. We're business
partners. They're boys. Yeah. Friends. They're boys with an S, not boys with a Z. Right? The boys with
business,
a Z.
As EPMD once said, business is never personal.
No.
So I understand what you guys are doing. All right.
All right. Well, good luck this week, gentlemen.
Next week, I want to hear about the bachelor party.
Yes.
And just know that Lifshatz had money on games the day he got engaged, and Joe Murray was pestering him with texts asking what he was going to do. It's always fun to have the Bankroll Boys and listen to the podcast. Over Under 985. Mm-hmm. And listen to that. You can download that off the 985 the Sports Hub app. Burt Breer is in next.
Thatcher and Rich.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show. Certainly not. Took it to the limit. Certainly not. I was in Miami with my new beach house. Certainly not. Took it to the limit. Certainly not.
She's not going to jump on it under any way, shape, or form.
Oh, that woman was the best. That smoldering look she gave the cameraman. It's like, you know, can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show.
So I'm doing the Chip Chipperson podcast, whatever, today, tonight in Somerville. And I'm just going to be a narrator in the beginning of it. But if you like our old friend Joanne, or you like Nora.
Oh, you were gone when Nora called in the other day.
What was it? So she like was having boyfriend troubles or something?
I had no idea. I just saw that she was on the phone, and I was like, all right. And then something had happened with her boyfriend, and that she wanted to apologize to him. And now like her boyfriend's like mad at us.
Oh, well, I wasn't here.
See, I heard from him, and he was fine.
Nora, the one from the Worse Than Tom Brady contest, who had, like, the purse full of, like, little
and, like,
liquor
the
bottles.
Boyfriend was...
It's a different boyfriend.
It's a different
guy.
Oh, okay.
He broke up
guy.
After that, and that was a different
okay,
one.
Okay, because the original boyfriend was like, what's she doing with... him.
See, I thought a guy. I liked that guy. I thought he was perfect. They were perfect.
But
together.
I was blamed for them breaking up. So now
that right. was your fault.
No, well, no, I wasn't. The boyfriend.
Boyfriend was upset at Fred incorrectly.
I think his friends were upset at me incorrectly. And the
oh,
boyfriend
awesome.
Was like,
"You guys are like involved in this girl."
So Joanne, it sold out. But Joanne and Nora, and then the Celtics girl are going to be involved.
And that's going to be at
the Somerville Theater.
Oh, see, that's awesome. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I hate things like this, though, because I get nervous. But anyway, my point is, so I was on Twitter, my like own Twitter, which I haven't been on in forever because yeah. I was direct messaging with Jim Norton. And I went through my people I was following and I saw the Jacksonville lady, the fake account for the Jacksonville lady. Yeah. And I'm like, where is she? She was such a part of the show.
Oh, she was the, I mean,
you can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
So it's like that was a long way for me to go to say I saw the Jacksonville lady.
I got somebody says we have a song. What is this?
Took it to the limit. One more time. Took it to the limit. Certainly not. Took it. To the limit, my new beach house. To the limit, you can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show. To the limit.
I think we got the point there.
It's good.
Not bad.
Could listen to her songs all day. All okay. right, Bert Breer, who now it's been now announced as the new head of MMQB.
Yeah, you guys were onto it, huh?
Yeah, yes.
You
cracked
on the scent
when you started writing MMQB. So you are here, and the Thursday night football is terrible, but let's get to the Patriots. Matt Chatham was talking, and he said that Jacksonville's defense was okay, not great. Why are you raising your finger?
What's that, Dan? Sorry, Dan. Oh, I don't know if we want to take this.
Yeah, I don't want to take it. I got nothing to do with
it. I don't want to take this.
Yeah, I have nothing to do with
it. Yeah. Let's just stay.
She's going to be part of a comedy show tonight.
Oh, sorry. God. We're getting phone calls from parties involved.
I have nothing to do with their relationship. Jim Norton asked for three girls to come up and do a... listen to the Chip Chipperson podcast. And not during our show. Mm. And then go tell me... Oh, please. Leave me alone. I know three girls. And I don't even have
Fred's got a lot going on right now.
I don't even have
this like.
I don't have. I don't have.
Saw your tweet.
Hey, by the way, I have. Screw you with that cat. I'll tell you this. You know who reached out? You know who reached out about the cat? Big Jim Murray. And he went through the same situation, and he said, "You're all going well. You two, I don't know how much."
The jazz musician.
I reached out
from the Tiger Mash show.
What did I do?
The jazz musician.
I said, "You two, to my knowledge." Well, I'll tell you this. Well, eventually, we'll talk about football.
I reached out.
I know. No, I don't need you to reach
out.
How
was the cat? Can we
I said,
update?
How was Miss Muff? Miss Puff?
Miss Senorita Fluff.
Senorita Fluff. No,
but
right.
In terms of
Snickers, all right?
concerning defending me on the air. And you both did, and John expressed concern, which I appreciated. Our program director called me, and I think he was feeling things out, like if I was telling the truth. And what's funny about it is, like, I'd be driving, because Lockhart calls me now. It calls me. He doesn't mind doing it, apparently. And so he calls me, and I was on the way into work. I said... And, like, I would lie and go, my cat's sick. Like, there's blood all over the place. And the thing, oh, why don't you wait till the end of the show? I don't want the cat suffering and dying while I'm not there. I've had it 18 years.
I don't know if you were in that day with Zolak and Bertrand, but all I know is that I had heard that.
Oh, we were talking about how we were, like, actually, I think we did a segment on cat people versus dog people.
Okay.
Yeah, like how it's okay to have a cat, but only if you have a dog, too.
We have a dog.
Okay, so if you have a dog, too, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
People who just have cats are weird.
But if you are...
That's an okay theory.
That's fair, right?
There's some sound research behind that.
I mean, I had a cat when I was a kid, but it wasn't until after we had dogs.
Okay. No, see, I had a cat. A girlfriend gave me this cat. I didn't even know my wife when I got this cat. I've had this cat in my life longer than anyone but my parents. And a couple friends.
All I know is that apparently Scott Zolak, every commercial break during that show, would run into our program director's office and go, how's Fred's cat? Fred's cat dead yet? How's it doing?
Much to the delight of
I was finding out about this at the same time I found out about the weed. So, like...
Okay. Yeah, that's right. All this news was breaking at the same time.
A very strange day.
The big box of 30 pounds of weed.
Making fun of the cat is one thing. I have no problem with that. But our program director called me, and I thought it was very odd that he was calling me.
Mike.
Because he was calling me kind of to go, like, he's like, you know, you're important to the show.
He's like feeling you out?
Yeah, like feeling me out. I'm like,
Fred, I think I know why. I think it's because the day before on Instagram, you posted a picture and underneath it, it said Bender.
No, it was 2 days before.
Oh, okay. I think that was like, it's like, you don't really have to be, you know, the biggest
Tuesday, I got home at 3:15 and coached a baseball game. So I have witnesses to that.
I
have not consumed alcohol in 3 days.
So the cat was on a bender?
No, I don't think so. But all I know is that, Fred, I will always be the person that I don't care who it is in the show. They say that they're sick or they say they got something. I will never doubt it because that is something that you have to do that with your coworkers. Because someday you're going to have something really ridiculous happen and you need them to trust you that it's true.
Well, Zoe came into this whole situation with an arched eyebrow, basically. Like, well,
oh, jeez. He called in during our show. Yeah, it's like, what's up with Fred's dead cat?
Bert, here you go. This,
if he's not dead, I'm getting angry.
I got from him.
So, but the deal is,
yeah, he's texting us pictures of like run over cats.
It's funny.
Of dead cats
in
the road.
That stuff made me laugh.
Yeah.
But who on the station misses the most time?
I don't really know. I don't know.
I got an answer for you.
There have been Fridays during the football season where Zoe has mysteriously gotten sick.
Yeah,
I think if you quizzed the midday people, they would probably say
that. I will say this about Zolak, is that his absences always seem to come like the day after a long weekend.
Yeah.
Like it's always
the day before.
Like,
or the Tuesday after Memorial Day.
He's rarely sick on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's always either on a Monday after a 3 day weekend.
There have been times.
Or, you're right. Now that I will say. Now that does raise an eyebrow, as you were saying.
And you don't call him and say, how's Scott? How's his cold?
See, I'll call out people on other shows, just not ours.
Okay. I agree with that too.
So you're saying Zoe's a narc?
Kind of.
I'm thinking that Zoe's trying to kind of push the blame on someone else.
Right.
I see. He's hiding in plain sight. All right.
Look over here. Look over here. Yes.
That's what I think is happening. All right. We will talk football.
Finally.
I assure you.
Yes.
But first, we will have the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love living in Jacksonville. In Jacksonville. In Jacksonville. Jacksonville, Florida.
98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the worst. Like, what do they call it? The
promo. It's like a city promo. Yeah. Where, like an ad for the town that the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce video is what it is.
And the worst city promo to go with the worst city.
Yeah, Jacksonville, and this is dead serious. Jacksonville is, in terms of downtown, it's just a ghost town.
Yeah.
I have no idea who the...
Certainly not.
Yeah, it is true. But... Bert and I were swapping Jacksonville stories in downtown.
More stories from North Florida.
All I gotta say is don't stay downtown. But this was trying to get people to move to Jacksonville, and it's all people that are geriatric. So they're essentially, it's a nice place to die.
We won't be much longer in Jacksonville.
There's no state tax,
we're gonna
so you
be
kids.
Under a hill.
Humidity keeps my joints loose.
That's right.
And the thing that they're talking about is like, we have a neat park and fun things to do at the zoo. You're like, wow.
You can feed the pigeons and try not to kill yourself. Life has no meaning in Jacksonville. All right, so Bert, Chatham was talking, who we like, he was talking the other day, I believe, on Nesson, and he said that Jacksonville's defense was good, not great. I found that to be a surprise, as they should have probably won the AFC Championship game with their defense. Yeah. And, you know, a little conservative coaching and some bad calls kind of caused that for them. But what is your opinion on that?
I think they've got as much talent on that side of the ball as anyone. They were a little inconsistent at times last year, and you saw it in the playoffs, too. I mean, they didn't play great against the Steelers. The Steelers got them over the top a couple of times. And so it's not like they're this – it's not like they were the 2000 Ravens last year. But I like there's not an area that hasn't been taken care of to a large degree. They're tough and deep on the defensive line, and Gakwe – one of the best pass rushers in the league. They've got Campbell up front.
Yeah.
Miles Jack and Telvin Smith at linebacker. Ramsey and Boye, who's like a very, very good number two corner. In the defensive backfield, Church, Tayshawn Gibson. I mean, there's just there's front-end talent at every position. There's depth at every position. It's just it's young talent. It's a lot like where Seattle was in 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it just needs to be a little more consistent. But if it gets consistent, like if they can play the way that they played, say, against Buffalo in the wild card round, or the way they played the first three quarters against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, if they can do that consistently and they're capable of it,
yeah,
then it can be a scary, scary defense.
Okay, I hate to make a jarring switch from one team to the next, but I have to know what you, from talking to people, what you know about the situation with Matt Patricia versus the players in the locker room right now. Because there's been a lot of talk about how ever since he's shown up, players have been pretty pissed off at the way he runs things there.
You guys familiar with what Nutcrackers are?
What like Up-Downs?
Nutcrackers are, I'm sure anybody who played youth football remembers this drill. It's like one of the first things you do. It's a modified Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You're lying on the ground, and helmet to helmet. Right. The coach blows the whistle, you pop up to your feet, and whoever gets the other guy down wins. I saw the Lions doing that in training camp. It's the first time I've ever seen it in an NFL practice. I'm not saying that to say that what Patricia was doing was completely inappropriate. I just haven't seen it before. And so there were certain things that you'd see that the Lions were doing that were different than you see most NFL teams do it. Now, in Matt's defense, a year earlier, Doug Marrone was doing up-downs and gassers in Jaguars training camp, and everybody was making fun of them. And then they go 12-4 and get to the AFC Championship game after the franchise had been irrelevant for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the thing about the way Matt's running that program is it can work. And we've seen guys do things in an old school way. Belichick does things in an old school way. Nick Saban does things in an old school way at Alabama. You can do things that way. You just have a shorter period of time to get results. Because if you don't get results, guys are going to get pissed off. And it's like, all right, now I'm doing all of this for what?
Yeah.
And that's sort of where I think he is now. I can tell you this. I know some Jets players were hearing from Lions players on the field in pregame on Monday night bitching about the way training camp was.
Wow. So the Jets players are hearing them. So
this was – and this is just an anecdote because they played each other the other night.
I guarantee you I know who one of the Jet players was that heard it is a linebacker.
Who?
You're talking about the one that said that he saw all the, that he knew what all
the
players were?
No. It's the guy. He was on the Lions in 2015.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I mean, you're not talking about Avery Williamson. He came from the Titans.
No. I got to look it up.
Well, so either way, they're bitching right there, like before a game, about how things are going down.
Yeah. So
and did they quit?
Look. I think there's an element here of, you have to weed people out. When you go into a new place and you're going to do things that way, there's going to be a natural weeding out. And you're not going to be able to get everybody out at once.
Sure.
Right? So you have to figure out who's on board and who's not. And I think that existed here when Bill was here in 2000, right? If you talk to people who are around the 2001 Patriots, things were like, I'm not saying Bill was on the verge of losing the team, but before Brady went in there and they get off, they start rolling off wins, things weren't perfect there.
Yeah.
And
we were talking to Troy Brown yesterday. I think that Bill even got a little bit of a longer leash than usual because some of those guys were there when Parcells was there.
Right. And so, like, that part of it, like, I think that part of it is – and the other part that that part of it's tough. I think the other piece of it, this wasn't like a, I mean, people talk about Detroit like it was dysfunctional. This wasn't a broken place. They were 9-7 the last
right.
2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Caldwell arguably is the second best coach that they've had in my lifetime.
Right. I mean, I think it was
Fonz was an idiot. He just had a ton of talent.
I might be wrong. I think that was the first time they had back-to-back winning seasons since like the 90s.
Yeah, since Fonz.
Right.
Yeah, so Fonz was a complete imbecile, but he had like Hall of Fame talent on that team.
Sure.
And
well, they called him Rasputin, right? Because like it would seem like he was on the road to getting fired, and then all of a sudden they would roll off.
They'd go 12-4.
Yeah. Barry Sanders would run wild and save his job.
Well, they had Herman Moore.
Yeah, Barry Sanders. Yeah. Like, right. He wound up surviving like 9 years because he was like, so they walk him out to the plank, and then all of a sudden.
Brandon Copeland, right?
Yeah. Brandon Copeland.
Linebacker.
Yeah.
Brandon okay. Copeland Brandon was Copeland. The guy. But
that's Bert Source.
But can it be. But reading the headlines at Detroit Free Press, I mean, Patricia in over his head, you were saying he has a short shelf life. I mean, the shelf life for him might be less than a season the way things are going here.
I don't think they're going to fire him after 1 year. I mean, he got a 5-year deal. Be a lot of money to eat, and that organization isn't normally the organization that's going to pull. I mean, they're historically, and Fred, you know this, they gave Matt Millen a huge, long lead.
It's a little
I'm
bit.
I'm saying with the players, like, I'm not saying that with ownership. I'm saying with players, if you're going to do things that way, like, you have to show them, like, okay, like, Mangini, when he went to, but like, when the mistake, that was the mistake Mangini made when he went to the Jets, was like, mm-hmm. well, like, I'll be able to do things this way, and then they'll get results, and none of it will matter. None of this bitching and moaning will matter. Well, if you don't give them results quick enough, then maybe they're not going to be on board anymore.
Sure.
If they're not on board anymore, like, it doesn't matter how much you're yelling at them and how much you believe in what you're doing. If they're not going to do it, then...
Let me tell you a little difference in what could happen is William Clay Ford was a recovering alcoholic
yeah.
who believed in second chances.
And Martha's...
And Martha's now in charge of the team, so...
Right.
We'll see. And they got rid of Caldwell too quickly.
It's possible. The Caldwell thing to me is a little different just because... You hadn't given your general manager a coaching hire yet.
Yeah.
So I think that it was one of those things. And I think this goes for Tennessee, too, where John Robinson fired Mike Mularkey after he advanced in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they got to the divisional round of the playoffs. I think in both cases, it's like you get through 2 years as a general manager. You haven't made a coaching hire yet. You inherited the coach. And you're saying to yourself, okay, well, you know, now either – I make this hire now,
mm-hmm.
or I go into year three. And if it doesn't go well in year three, then it could be both of us gone.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do it, I kind of have to do it now.
All right.
That's what I think it was for Bob Quinn. He sort of had to do it at that point.
Well, when we get back,
he's going to do it.
I want to ask you about, you know, obviously there was the stuff that came out about Rob Gronkowski, about how he wouldn't play for anyone else other than Tom Brady. Well, yesterday, Mike Giardi actually was on with Adam Jones, and he had a really good theory to kind of piggyback on what Tommy Curran was saying about Tom Brady's amount of time here, whether he's going to finish here, and whether the two of them are linked.
Yep.
But there was a pretty good theory I want to run by you and kind of see what you know about where these guys' heads are at and whether or not they're going to finish as Patriots.
And just following up on the Matt Millen thing, when Matt Millen started working at Fox or CBS, whatever it was, covering the NFL.
Here's the worst analyst.
Well, hang on. Yeah. Detroit,
great
Detroit ran a thing underneath the screen that said they had their station had nothing to do with
that.
A ticker that said that we didn't hire him.
This is even better. So the year after he got fired, he was working as a college football analyst for ESPN, right? One of his first assignments was to... you know, go to cover a game at the University of Michigan. So he's calling the game there, right? And in the first quarter of the game, he says, man, this is a beautiful campus. I haven't been here since I was recruited to play here.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the general manager of the Lions.
Well, hey,
and the University of Michigan is 20 minutes away.
Oh, man.
And he hadn't been there?
Yeah, you know, there's kids. I mean, Watt went to Central Michigan for a while. I mean, there's kids. Jesus, that wide receiver from Western Michigan got taken in the first round.
And he hadn't been to the University of Michigan.
He is such a phenomenal moron. His defense of Joe Paterno was so idiotic. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
I think a lot of what Brady does and where it goes is tied to age, performance, and is Bill Belichick still here, and what's the nature of their relationship? I think if Tom was playing well and Bill decided to walk away and Josh was in line to be the coach, I don't think Tom would leave. I mean, that's their best buddies, you know? I mean, it's clearly part of the reason why Josh is back is so that the Crafts have a little wiggle room there with Belichick and a buffer for Brady. So there's so much tied into how Brady plays and what Bill does and where their relationship goes. And I don't think anybody can predict, you know, how that's going to look 2-3 years from now.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Be listening at 7:50 this morning, or I'm sorry, be listening a little after 8 this morning for your chance to score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom, stopandshop.com. That's coming up a little after 8.
So, Bert, that was Mike Giardi.
Yep.
Last night on with Adam Jones, who now works for the NFL Network. We had heard, obviously, that Rob Gronkowski was not going to he's going to retire if he didn't get to play with Tom Brady once more, that he did not want to be traded. And now you're hearing Tom versus time. Tom Brady wants to play for another 5 years, although it doesn't sound like he's happy. Speculation is, and even Tommy Curran said something the other night, is that he believes that more than likely Tom Brady would not finish his career here and he would bring Rob Gronkowski wherever he was going. What do you know about all this that's going on and
well, let's go back to what Giardi said. What I can tell you, and I think I've probably said this to you guys a few times over the last few months, as far as Josh staying here, that was a Kraft operation. That wasn't Belichick. I don't think that was Brady. That was a Kraft operation. And my feeling on that was it was as much Robert looking out onto that field in Minneapolis and seeing a coach who's going to be 66, a quarterback who's going to be 41, and realizing we're sort of turning into a year-to-year operation. If you want to go back 20 years, that was the problem he had with Parcells. Like, that's the reason why, like, Robert Kraft chafed against having Parcells here was because Parcells would disappear to Florida for 3 weeks at the end of every season and say, I'll decide when I'm coming back, when I'm going to decide if I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needed, like, Robert, I think, craved creating some sort of stability after getting rid of Garoppolo, craved, like we need something that's going to make this not year to year anymore. And so he has a young executive in Nick Caserio, and I don't think anything was promised to Josh, but I think at least having Josh in-house as a potential successor and a guy who was under contract long-term was important to him,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think Robert was the driving force behind Josh McDaniels staying here. And here's the other part of it. They didn't have anybody who could coach Brady. Or at least that's the way they felt. Like, they felt like there was not somebody on that staff. Because think about how challenging it is to find someone to coach Tom Brady. I mean, the Broncos ran into this with Peyton Manning, and it's why Adam Gase became such an important piece of their staff. It's hard to find somebody who can challenge Brady, who's going to be more prepared than Brady, who's going to have stuff for Brady on a weekly basis that he's not going to look at and say, I already know that. I don't need this.
Sure.
Right? Like, it's really hard to find a guy like that. And so that piece of it, I think having Josh in-house is important for that reason too. And that's why I think Josh, you know, where I think Mike is on to something, like, Josh is an important piece of all of this. As far as Gronk goes, I think maybe Gronk got pushed to kind of the edge of the, again, we'll use the plank analogy, kind of got pushed out onto the plank mm-hmm. this offseason where it was like, and just maybe sort of started to recognize, appreciate what he has here. And maybe it became more valuable to him than an extra couple million bucks.
To stick around.
Because I don't think that, I mean, look, I don't think the market for Rob Gronkowski was what a lot of people thought it would be.
Right.
When they were trying, when he was out on the block, I mean, look, I can tell you, I talked to some of the teams that, you know, would have, that were out, the names of the teams that were out there. I talked to some of the teams that were, you know, floated as possibilities for him, and they didn't see him the same way a lot of people might think you, what was
the value of him that you're hearing?
Well, what I heard the problem was, there were two teams in particular that I talked to that said he's not as valuable to us because we don't have Tom Brady. And the reason why is because if you watch him play, how often do you see him running free? He doesn't separate.
Right.
Like, he just doesn't get away from coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the point was that Gronk's value is that he can go up and he can catch the ball in traffic, right? Like, that he can make these circus catches and almost no, I would say no player at that position in NFL history has ever been able to do it like him. He's better at that than anyone. But if you don't have a quarterback who can put it in those spots, then what's Gronk's value?
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of ways, those teams looked at it and said, well, he's a fantastic player, probably plays that position at a higher level than anybody's ever played it. But we don't have Tom Brady here. And so if we don't have a quarterback who can put it in those spots, does he have the same value to us?
Well, let's say Belichick's still here. Do you still see Brady leaving after the end of his contract is up, 2 years? I mean, why would you stick around when they pretty much insult you by not giving you any more money other than the incentive base?
I think there still would need to be some fence mending, yeah. And, no one's been better on Brady over the last 20 years covering Brady and knowing Brady's stuff than Tom Curran. So, like, what he says, I would agree with what he said. Like, I think that there's still some level of fence mending. I do think the one thing that would keep Brady here is Robert Kraft's motivation to have Brady retire as a Patriot, which I think was a huge part of the Garoppolo trade.
All right. So, Burt Breer, the big stud at MMQB, he has taken over the franchise, and he's got to be better than Peter King because, let's face it, he sucked. So there you go.
I didn't say that. Fred said that. I did not say that. Taking over.